can actually fly it with this up like that. So the, you know, the visibility, being able to look out both sides, and then if you see something, you know.
It's like trying to spot a rubber duck in the ocean or a tiny toy figurine in a gravel parking lot while standing on a 30-foot tall ladder. Add unpredictable weather and the sharp contrast of a rugged landscape, and you've got a pretty good picture of what it's like looking for a missing person in the San Juan Mountains. It's a scenario pilot Devin Felix knows well. Still, he is unprepared for the terrain he faces from the cockpit of his fixed-wing airplane on July 26th. He's looking for Tim Cannon, a Telluride banker, beloved community member, and experienced backcountry athlete who left his house for a hike and never returned.
I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. I can do this, I can do this. And then I got up there and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I can see why, you know, and I've been up there I don't know how many times, but it's overwhelming.
Devin assists area agencies with search and rescue missions. He's logged about 50 or 60 of them, whether it's a missing person or an injured hiker, whether it's winter or summer, whether it's atop an unpredictable summit or deep in the backcountry. His success rate of finding and retrieving people is high. Devin's first search and rescue mission for San Miguel County dates back almost two decades. It was on North Pole Peak at 12,000 feet and involved a couple of boys who got into steep terrain and couldn't get down.
And they called me to go see what I could do. Basically, I didn't really have a clue what I was doing or getting into or anything.
In 2013, Devin rescued a seriously injured hiker on El Diente. In 2006, he spotted the wreckage of a small plane that had crashed into the summit of Wilson Peak, killing four Texans. In 2003, he landed his helicopter on the precarious ridgeline of 13,000-foot Greenback Mountain at dusk so that two SAR members could rappel down a steep slope and rescue a stranded hiker. Deputy Todd Rector, who's been with the sheriff's office since 2000, has accompanied Devin on many of these missions. The two have forged a friendship through their shared interest in helping people in peril. Rector says Devin has never shied away from a rescue, even when faced with the trickiest of terrain.
We've landed above 13,000 feet on probably 50 occasions over the years. He's a very skilled pilot. Those skills aren't something that you come across every day.
Devin soloed his very first flight in November 1986. He attended a small aviation college to fly fixed wing and then joined the Army to fly helicopters. He spent a half dozen years doing that and another five in California working for a helicopter application business before returning home to Olathe, where he's lived the past 18 years. Regardless of his experience as a pilot, Devin gets a pit in his stomach when the sheriff's office calls.
I love the work, but it has a high potential for a bad outcome, and I know they're going to test me, my skills, my abilities, and all that stuff. And so, to me, that's a lot of stress. It works me up just thinking about it. You know, somebody's depending on you, or your performance may mean life and death.
Tim Cannon left his house on Sunday, July 8th for a hike. He told his wife, Amy, that he was going to summit Iron Mountain, a craggy peak just west of Telluride. When he failed to return by early the next morning, Amy reported him missing. The San Miguel County Sheriff's Office launched an aggressive search. In the 18 days that followed, dogs, drones, helicopters, SAR volunteers, community members, all brushed through Telluride's backyard like a fine-tooth comb. A water bottle was found, a headlamp discovered, neither offering any real evidence. Deputy Rector recalls the details of the search.
It was a super frustrating one, mostly because initially we didn't really have much information. We got word that he was looking for bigger objectives in the region and had some goals that were pretty significant. In the end, the scope of it involved miles and miles of high country, pretty desperately difficult ridge terrain.
Why Devin Felix was the best person to insert into this exact scenario can best be explained by tracing his roots about 75 miles north of Telluride to a tiny agricultural community in the heart of the Uncompahgre Valley, where rich soils and sweet corn reign. They're called air tractors, the yellow planes designed specifically for agricultural work. Leonard Felix, the patriarch of Olathe Spray Service Incorporated, is in one of them, zooming over a field of onions, treating for bacterial disease. I'm watching with his son, Devin, from below in the safe confines of a parked pickup truck. I hold my breath. Leonard flies so low to the ground he might as well be digging up those onions with the nose of his plane. Just when it looks like he might plow into the houses at the edge of the field, he rears up, avoiding structures, power lines, and certain death. The plane Leonard is flying is calibrated for 130 miles per hour. He flies it about 6 to 8 feet off the ground. As an ag pilot, flying is second nature. It has to be, as demonstrated by Leonard on this sunny afternoon in Olathe, where the family business has been operating for 48 years. Olathe Spray is comprised of a trio of pilots, Leonard and his sons Seth and Devin. All three are crazy about flying, or as Morgan Felix will tell you, just a little crazy. Morgan is 21 and is the youngest family member to take interest in the business. She's Seth's daughter, Devin's niece, Leonard's granddaughter, and they are all equal parts proud of her. After earning a diploma from Olathe High, Morgan attended Colorado Mesa University, where she graduated in 3 years with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology. She's well-spoken, soft-spoken, sincere, and smart as a whip. In college, she thought she might pursue a number of career paths, but the road instead led to Olathe Spray.
There was some hesitation from my dad at first, not because he was concerned that I wouldn't excel at it or be competent at it, but he was concerned. Agricultural jobs are very difficult and time-consuming. It's hard seasonal work, and he wanted to make sure that I didn't get sucked into this without looking at other options. But once I decided that I love agriculture and this is what I want to be in, he's been fully supportive, and both he and my grandfather have encouraged me to take this as far as I want. If I want to start spraying, they said they'll get me in the cockpit, and kind of as far as I want to take it or as much as I want to make it.
Morgan flags for the ag planes, helping to keep both the pilot and the public safe, but she also does field work. Even though she grew up in flight, she's not quite ready to take the controls herself.
It takes a lot more skill, technique, and a little bit of crazy, I think, than I have right now. It still intimidates me a little.
Though it has survived almost 5 decades of business, Olathe Spray Service has seen its fair share of challenges. The calls come in, complaints, comments that the family is immoral with their use of poisonous pesticides. Morgan says there isn't enough public education about the industry, and it leads to fear.
We get several calls a week with people upset or concerned or even angry with what we're doing, and I don't think that there's a lot of understanding. You know, nobody ever calls to ask, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? How are you doing it? I think people are afraid of what we do when they don't need to be. It's very regulated. It's very safe. We're not just out here running rampant, spraying whatever we want. There's a process to make sure that what we're doing is ethical and safe.
She seems not to take the criticism too personally. But with Devin, it's the opposite. That's one of the reasons he loves search and rescue. It's his respite. There is no criticism in trying to help people.
Nothing feels as good as being able to help somebody that's in a time of need.
When one of its own is in trouble, Telluride rallies. That's been proven time and again, and when Tim Cannon went missing, it was no exception. Dozens of volunteers looked for him, even after the sheriff's office initially called off its own search. But day after day, the news was the same. Nothing. It was eating Devin Felix up that Tim hadn't been found. Devin's helicopter, generally used in search and rescue missions, was out for maintenance, so he decided to take his Piper Super Cub, a small aircraft that feels like it's part of your body when you're in it and is well known for being able to fly very slow and very low and land and take off on rough and short strips. Pipers operate well at high elevations, and tandem seating allows for expanded visibility. It takes Devin about a half hour to fly the Piper to Telluride. On the day he decides to search for Tim, Deputy Rector can't make it, and so Devin brings his 11-year-old son Ian instead, thinking that maybe, with Ian's young eyes, he'll spot what everyone else has missed. They're flying about 300 to 500 feet above Ruffner Mountain, looking for something that doesn't fit, either in color, shape, or size. The summit is about a half-mile-long section of ridge that stretches from around 12,400 feet to 13,000 feet at the very top. It's extremely rocky, like kitty litter on slab. Devin has an eye for this sort of detail. During the winter months, he works as a game surveyor, flying low off the ground all day, attempting to find deer, elk, bighorn sheep, grouse, and other animals for the state of Colorado. Once he sees them, he dips as low as necessary so that biologists can classify the animals and record data. And when he flies his helicopter for the family business, it's at around 6 feet off the ground, as low as necessary to effectively complete the work. On that day above Ruffner Mountain, Devin spots contrast in color and shape amid the jumbled up mix of broken rock and talus below. His heartbeat quickens, he zeroes in and dips low as necessary. Officials later confirm his discovery by the white ball cap lying several hundred feet away from the body. That is the sound of 73-year-old Leonard Felix taking off. Leonard, in his aviator helmet with ear flaps, resembles his own kind of Evel Knievel. He flies every day, and unlike Devin, who is bashful and reserved, will talk the ears off a field of corn. He's wiry and smiley with friendly eyes. To say he's passionate about flying would be a gross understatement.
Yeah, it's all about flying. You spray to fly. And this is real flying.
Leonard has 50 years of professional aerial application under his belt, but his experience in the industry dates back to when he was just 14 years old, helping drive a ground rig during a year when there was a particularly bad infestation of white flies. It was when he was in the fields watching pilots complete 10 times as much work from the air as he did all day on the ground that he caught a bug of his own, the flying bug. Leonard had every intention of obtaining his pilot's license upon graduation from high school, but he got a draft notice instead. He earned his private license while stationed in Germany and later, back in the States, obtained his commercial and helicopter ratings, and in 1969, he got back to his roots in Olathe, where he started Olathe Spray. During the season, which runs about early March through September, Olathe Spray has about 300 to 350 clients and treats close to 70,000 acres on average. Leonard knows this land like the back of his hand. He's estimated he's logged about 35,000 hours of flight. He's never crashed and never been injured, but he has lost track of all the wires he's torn down. The average aerial applicator pilot has 21 years of experience in the industry. Leonard has more than double that, and to this day, it's work he finds satisfying.
How many people get to do what they love and get paid for it and make a living?
According to the National Agricultural Aviation Association, there are only about 1,300 aerial application businesses in the U.S. and 1,400 non-operator pilots. It's a job that requires tremendous skill and precision and takes a significant amount of training.
I mean, that's part of the skills that Devin has as an observer from the sky, is knowing what to look for and how to look for it.
Perhaps that is why Devin Felix found Tim Cannon when it seemed no one ever would. A certain amount of luck went into it. Devin, who is eternally humble, explains it that way. Luck over skill any day, he says. But Deputy Todd Rector and those who have witnessed Devin at work know otherwise.
He's very reluctant to toot his own horn. And the fact of the matter is, it's his skill sets that have come up with a number of lost folks in the hills. And as easy as it is to say it's luck, he definitely has a really refined eye in that respect. And, that area was searched multiple times by multiple different aircraft from a couple of different other resources, and he was missed.
The day Tim Cannon's body was found was a somber day in Telluride, a mix of sadness and closure. Devin had to sort through his own emotions.
It was very positive for me to be able to go, to find it. I mean, and so I in one way you don't want to find that, but at the same time, it's for the family. And so I was like, woohoo, we did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was excited. I was hyped up. And I, that bothers me now because he's gone. And that's search and rescue.
When Tim's wife, Amy, got the call from Sheriff Bill Masters that her husband's body had been found, she was overwhelmed with gratitude.
And when I heard that it was a man who I hadn't met before who'd responded on his own time to fly over and have a look. It was hard to take it all in at once.
She reached out to Devin the next morning. She wanted to thank him for what she describes as an act of heroism, of which there were many examples during the search for Tim, she says.
But his was unlike any other. I mean, I have to think about what a pilot goes through to make sure that they're having a safe flight and they're taking themselves into safe territory. I can't think that anything about flying a fixed-wing small aircraft in the area where Tim was is anything like safe. And I just admire that kind of gumption to search anyway. It was extraordinary.
As for what Devin had to say to her, he spoke from the heart and with a perspective only an observer from the sky could know.
I told her from where he was, I know he had an eye for beauty and an eye for nature. And if we all got to go that way instead of a car wreck or something like that, then I would feel comforted with that.